I'm reading from Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man.
Proverbs 24:30-34. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man.
Proverbs 26:13-16. A sluggard says, "There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets." As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly.
Well, Proverbs tells us a whole bunch of ways that we can make an absolute mess of our lives. Pride comes before a fall. Greed, where you just give in to insatiable desires and they never end up satisfying and they end up leading you down a dark path. Marital infidelity. You know, some of us will know the pain of that. In our own lives and the consequences it has brought and the agony it's brought, and laziness, you know, an unwillingness to use my energy and motivation to actually work and do something productive. Now, I wonder if it surprises you that laziness is in that list of character traits that is destructive. You know, I guess for loads of us, laziness is one of those things that it's kind of funny. So you think of the teenager and it's like 3 o'clock and they are still in bed and you kind of despair. It's kind of funny. Or the student who has just spent all day and all night playing a computer game and then they don't emerge from their room because they've slept again all day. And you know, you kind of go, oh, laziness, despair, oh dear me. But do we think what Proverbs thinks, that actually a long-term, unchanged giving of yourself to lazy patterns of life is ultimately destructive? It will make a complete mess of things. Tim Keller, in his book on Proverbs, says the problem with a lazy person is that they don't love enough. They don't love life enough to be able to work to make the most of it. And they actually don't love people enough that they are willing to not do the jobs they are meant to do. And so they cause lots of other people heartache and pain because they leave jobs undone. He says that is the problem, he says, with the lazy person. I wonder, can you relate to that? The sluggard, the slacker, some of your translations will say, the lazy person. How are we to help them? How are we to move them on? How do we help ourselves in this? Now, I'm aware some people will be watching this and thinking, come on, Andy, why are we having a whole sermon on laziness? Isn't our problem not so much laziness, but overwork? And they're right, you know, on one side of things, you've got laziness over here. That's one side of the spectrum. On the other side, you've probably got workaholism. And what I want to say is both of them are equally destructive in different ways. We're going to spend our time this Sunday thinking about laziness, but workaholism actually, you know, if all my identity and worth is in my work and that I'm willing to sacrifice everything else for the sake of that status or that salary, then actually that can be equally destructive for those who are close to you those you love, your families. That is not a good place to be, but we're not going to be thinking about that. But what I want to suggest is that even though some of us are crazy busy, actually we can be crazy busy and still at the same time lazy. You know, part of the reason we are crazy busy is because of our laziness, our unwillingness to get on with jobs when they are given to us. And so I hope that as we look at Proverbs and some of the nuance of what it says about laziness and the character of the sluggard, there'll be traits that we will go, okay, maybe I didn't think I had a problem with this, but maybe I do. And I guess we've also got to remember, who is Proverbs written to? First and foremost, it is a training manual for the future king. And so the future king, this is helping him to say, this is what people are like. You'll find people like this, and this is how actually you are going to be able to help them. And it may be for us, you know, it may not be a particular issue for us, but it'll be other Christians that we know in the church that will be able to say, this is how you can be helped with these issues. So where does Proverbs start with helping us with the issue of being a sluggard? And the thing that Solomon does is he says, go to this insignificant, at times annoying, particularly if they get into your house, little creature that is in fact incredibly industrious. He says, go and consider the ant. Now we all know that there'll be people in church and there'll be friends who are bird watchers. They like being bird watchers and it's kind of interesting. Maybe you're a twitcher. Is that a thing? Probably. But here King Solomon says, right, for 10 minutes, I want you to become an ant watcher. Go and look at the ant. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Let me read this to you. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. And yet, verse 8, what does it do? It stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. He says, firstly, as you look at the ant, you see here is a creature that doesn't need a commander cracking a whip. It doesn't need a boss looking over its shoulder to get on with the work. It is self-motivated. It is self-driven. See, the first thing we learn as we look at the ant is that the sluggard, on the opposite side of that, needs to be driven. The sluggard needs to be driven. You see that from verse 7. See, all the motivation for the sluggard is external rather than internal. You delegate a job to them and it's just a headache because you have to keep following them up and chasing them and chasing them to finally get the piece of work out of them. And let's face it, you think, well, it would have been quicker if I did this job myself. Proverbs 10 verse 26 puts it like this, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. You know, I quite like vinegar on my chips. I tried rubbing some malt vinegar onto my gums the other day. Without the chips, it isn't so good. In fact, it's sour. It's a little bit bitter. It's not a very pleasant experience. I was on a camping few nights with some friends last week, and each night we had a little fire pit, and some of the bits of wood had been left outside, and so there was a bit of water and residue, and so they were a little bit smoky, and I somehow kept on finding myself sat in a position where the wind blew the smoke directly into my face. And I tell you what, again, that kind of ruins the experience. It is really not pleasant having smoke driven straight into your eyes. And King Solomon says, that's what it's like when you delegate work to a sluggard. It is painful. You send them to do something, and it would be more enjoyable to be sat next to a fire with the smoke blowing into your eyes. See, if you're prone to not getting a job done when you're delegated to, actually, that is selfish. It is unpleasant, not just for you, but but it's unpleasant for other people. Now, of course, you know, with tasks that need to get done, there's not an expectation that you can't say, okay, there's a roadblock. I don't know how to get on from here. How does this work? How do I do this? Of course, you have conversations as you go through and try and get jobs done. But the sluggard never takes responsibility for the task. Children, if you're watching this at home, do you know, your parents are probably pretty sick of having to stand over you and say you need to put your clothes away. In fact, I reckon they'd probably far rather drink a pint of vinegar than have to do that. Do you know, your laziness with not getting on with that task and them having to keep on cracking the whip and stand there and saying you are not going to go out until you have done this is not fun for them. It's not enjoyable. See, that is the sluggard. They always need to be driven externally. They're not self-motivated. They don't just get on with it. Now, I'm aware that it's been a challenging month, few months for all of us. You know, as we think, most of us have been thrust either onto furlough or into working from home. And maybe for some of us, we'll have realized, we didn't realize how much of a motivation was there as you had the boss prowling around and just looking over the shoulder. Maybe as you've lost that, you've kind of realized you haven't got a lot of self-motivation to do this work. And maybe you've kind of come up with some sluggard-like traits. And so what should you do? Solomon says, consider the ant. Become an ant watcher. Go and have a look at it. There's no one cracking the whip. There's no daily meetings. It does what it needs to do. It busily gets on with the task it needs to do. It's a self-starter. And I'm aware there'll be some people watching this who, you know, really do struggle with motivation for work. And it's nothing to do with being a sluggard. It is to do with chemicals in the brain and struggles with depression. And so what I want you to hear is don't feel beaten up by what is being said here. You know, some of you will struggle to be motivated to do work because actually you can't, in your heart of hearts, you can't see any point in the work. And if that's you, please talk with another Christian, pray with them, allow them to walk with you through this and go to the doctor, go and get some medical advice. Well, the sluggard needs to be driven. But the second thing we see from the ant is that the sluggard also needs deadlines. Have a look at verse 7 and 8 again. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. What does the ant do? It makes sure in the right seasons it is gathering food for the lean season. It's burying away, it's storing away for the lean months. The ant knows exactly the right time to act, and so it's ready. A kitchen, which is a great name for someone who writes Bible commentaries, but there's a chap called Kitchen, and in his commentary he put it like this, foolishness labours when the stomach growls, wisdom labours because it knows it will growl. See, the sluggard lives their life without foresight and planning. It's just going from one selfish binge to the next, not thinking the impact on either their own future or the future of those they know and love. See, the sluggard needs deadlines imposed. Proverbs 20 verse 4 puts it like this. Sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. They are so self-absorbed. They fail to look up and think, this is the right time to plow. If I plow now, it will put me in a good position when it comes to the harvest time. Harvest time comes and they find nothing and they think, I better do some hard work. You see, they work hard when they should be resting and they rest when they should be working hard. I guess you could say they not only miss the deadline, but they miss the opportunities that could be there, that are there for a limited amount of time. Grace this week has been out doing a little bit of shopping in the sales. As you know, it's been a very hot week. And she came back and said, Andy, I've bought some great things. And here I'm thinking, great, some shorts and t-shirts. No, she's bought some winter coats. And she was like, look, they are, these have been reduced massively now. And I know we're going to need them then. So this is going to save us a whole lot of money. Now, that's kind of a little bit of foresight and planning, isn't it? That's actually not a bad way to think. But my wife is a bit of a freak. So come January sales, she's already buying presents for the next Christmas. She's a little bit like that. But the point is, the sluggard doesn't have any foresight or planning. It's not thinking ahead. It's just thinking about the now, selfishly self-absorbed in the now. And I guess sluggards also don't see the opportunities that are there. I guess the longer on in life you go, you realize there are some things where there is just a window of opportunity that if you don't strike then, it will be gone. You know, it may have been with a job that someone was retiring at just the right point for you when you were looking to move, or there was a house that came available at just that right point. And, you know, it takes wisdom to know, do I go through that door or not? But you know, as you look back, there's many opportunities that came that were only there for a limited time because people make decisions and then things move on. See, the sluggard thinks the opportunity will always be there. I don't need to action that today. I don't need to do that today. It's fine. It can wait till tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. The psalmist says, consider the ant. It knows harvest time. This is the time to go and collect. The lean months are ahead. They don't need deadlines. I guess there's another thing around these themes. There's another proverb, Proverbs 12 verse 27 says, the lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. You see, they don't just miss the deadlines. They start jobs, but don't finish them. So there is the lazy. They've gone on the hunt. They've done the hard work. They've actually captured some game. And they get home and they just go, I've caught some game. Look at me, look at the animal. Oh, we're going to eat well, but I'm just not now. I'm not going to sort it out now. I'll sort it out tomorrow because I need to go and rest now. And then tomorrow comes and they go, oh, no, not today. I'm just going to go for a swim today. Oh, the animal will still be there. And they finally feel really hungry and they go to the animal and it has gone off. They've done the hard work and they don't finish off the job and they miss out. See, that's not the diligent. Diligent catch the game, they cook it, they enjoy, they feast. They start the jobs and they finish it. But the sluggard always needs the deadline. Otherwise, they just miss the opportunity. They start the job, but then they don't finish the job and they don't get the benefits of it. See, there's the sluggard. The sluggard needs to be driven and needs deadlines. But also, as we said at the start, actually the sluggard is in danger. Proverbs 6 verses 9 to 11 puts it like this. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. You see, the sluggard does what they do best, and that is not very much. They sleep and they think, do you know what I really need? I'm really tired. I need more sleep. It's funny, isn't it? Sometimes the more you sleep, the more tired you feel. And that is the sluggard. A little slumber, a little rest, a little folding of their hands. I'll sort it out tomorrow. The thing about the sluggard is it's not that they are not going to do the job. You know, in their head, it's not they've said, no, I'm not going to do that. They said, no, they are going to do it. They're definitely going to get on and get on with that task. It's just not today. Never today. Always tomorrow. A little slumber today, a little bit more Netflix, a little bit more eating food, a little bit more this. And they say, as you carry on doing that, there's an armed robber that will come upon you and jump you from behind and will leave you in a pit of poverty. And the point is, you could have avoided the pit. But once you are there, it comes on all at once. And you're in big trouble and you can't help yourself to get out of it. You know, it's taken a long time coming, but when it comes, it's pretty brutal. It is dangerous. How do they get there? How do they end up in the pit? Well, one of the ways they get there, Proverbs 22 verse 13. A sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming, roaming the streets. They make excuses to not get on with the plans. There is a lion. There's a lion out there. Really? It looks a little bit like a cat. You put that cat on steroids and it is a deadly weapon. I cannot get on with that job today. See, that is the sluggard. Now, they make excuses which they believe, but to everyone else, it's clearly nonsense. Proverbs 26, verse 16 says this, a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. You see, the sluggard will not listen to the wisdom of others. And so they don't face reality. They're never willing to actually face reality. They just keep spending on the credit card, even though they can't bring themselves to look at the bank statement at the end of the month. It's not that they shirk responsibility. It's that they're a realist. You know, it's not that they, hey, look, it's not that they're self-indulgent. They're just not very good in the morning. I'm just not very productive in the morning. I'm just not a morning person. See, the excuses can sound so convincing to themselves, but before they realize it, disaster is round the corner and it jumps them. See, the sluggard needs motivation. The sluggard needs deadlines. The sluggard is in genuine danger. I wonder, are you a sluggard? You know, do any of those traits, can you see any of them in you? Can you see any temptations or weaknesses being exposed? See, yeah, what do you need to do? Look at the ant, become an ant watcher. But actually there is only one real source of lasting change. And it starts with looking at the King who was never lazy, King Jesus. He always drove things. You know, can you imagine the temptation? As he started healing people and crowds were just coming to look and find him, well, how tempting would it have been just to say, I'm going to stay here? And he doesn't. Do you remember that back in Mark's gospel? He says, no, I'm driven. We must go to other towns so I can preach there because that is why I have come. See, Jesus is driven by the mission given to him by God. Can you imagine how tempting it would have been to have not gone to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane as he considered the consequences of going and drinking the cup of wrath in our place? How tempting it would have been to have walked away, to have not finished what he started, and yet he is willing. He was willing to take the thorns thrust into his head, the thorns that can grow from our laziness and our selfishness, and he was willing to go and take the full force of God's just anger at our selfishness and our laziness. And before he breathed his last on the cross, he was actually able to say, it is finished. See, Jesus the King, he started what he finished. He was driven. He didn't need deadlines. He was never lazy, and he did it because he loved his Father in heaven, and he loves you, knowing your laziness, knowing your workaholism, and he says, come, ask for forgiveness, and by your Spirit, I want to make you like me. You know, what is it this week that you think, okay, that one area, that thing that I started, Lord, help me to finish it, because that thing will really bless other people. It will serve other people. That job my parents keep asking me to do, Lord, forgive me for my selfishness. Help me to do that. What is it that your sluggard tendencies this week, you need help from Jesus to do? You know, you're a sluggard, maybe you're a slacker, maybe you're lazy. Let's ask for forgiveness and let's take one thing and try and change it this week. What's it going to be for you? Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that your word so often it makes us feel uncomfortable because it highlights some of our tendencies that are destructive for ourselves and destructive for other people. And so, Father God, we really do ask that this week we might look to Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we might take a task that you've given us to do and finish it and do it. Father, help bring lasting change and help us to know forgiveness and joy that can only come through knowing Jesus. In his name, amen. Well, our final hymn this week is a hymn that does take us to the cross, but actually it starts us with considering the glory of God, the fact that the wise person, the beginning of wisdom, starts with fear of the Lord. And just as we go into this week, this song is going to reorientate us and say, actually, God is the one who deserves all our praise. He does everything, and we need his cross and forgiveness to help us push on. We're going to sing All Creatures of Our God and King. Let's praise him.